to Dirt Doctor Radio, where you'll get advice and answers from the guy who leads the organic charge. Author, landscape architect, arborist, and your host, the Dirt Doctor, Howard Garrett.
Thank you, Logan, and welcome, everybody. The telephone number to be with me on the show, if we get the phones working correctly today, is 1-866-444-3478. The website's dirtdoctor.com. If you want our newsletter, send us an email. Send it to info@dirtdoctor.com. That's all you need to do. Or you can fill out the little form that's on dirtdoctor.com and try go that route. Either way will work fine. We do one subject at a time. It comes out sometime during the week. It always varies. Depends on when we get it done. We cover one subject at a time, so it's real easy to see if it's something you're interested in or you want to hit delete and go to the next thing. A lot of people like it. It's been one of the most popular things that we've done. We do have other things on the website. There's a members area. It's called the Organic Club of America. It does cost a little bit, but it has a lot more benefits. You can check that out. The basic website is loaded with data. The front page there, the home page, you'll see three columns of words. Each one of those is a button that takes you to a various chapters and so forth. The library is the big button above those, and everything's in alphabetical order. So hopefully we can help you, and if not, if you still have a question, then you can give me a call on the show or email it to info@dirtdoctor.com. We also have the chat rooms where there's an awful lot going on, a lot of different people talking to each other. We have moderators that help us out with each of those areas of expertise in the forums, in the chat rooms. And also on Facebook, I think a lot of people are more comfortable with Facebook than anything because they're just used to it or it's real easy to use. So we've got a lot of information there as well. So anyway, you want to contact us, that's fine. We've been having some phone issues. We've delayed bringing our guest on, Sherry Herrera DeFry, to talk about Arbico and beneficial insects and things like that until we make sure we have things squared away. We're going to see right now. We talked to Sam off the air. Let's see if we can talk to him on the air. Sam, still not working, Matt. Well, I got Sam's question. Sam, if we can get him punched up, and we'll try it. But I know what he's calling about. He just had a bur oak planted, and it's a bald and burlapped bur oak. Let's see. And he was wondering about the burlap being taken off and about the roots being roughed up when the plant is set in the ground. And he's thinking, right, obviously been listening to what we're talking about here. When you put a tree in the ground that has been in a can, well, let's see if he's there. Sam, are you with us?
I'm on here. Can you hear me?
You know what? I can hear you, and we're not even having the feedback, so maybe we can talk about this thing. Why don't you just go through your question from the beginning so I make sure I don't miss anything.
Okay. We bought a bur oak tree from a local tree farm, and we had them plant it for us. And when they put it in, they took the burlap bag off, but they didn't open up the roots at all on it. It was a container, a
ball and burlap.
Yeah, ball and burlap type setup. So I'm just wondering if that's a problem.
Not a problem, because when a plant is in a container, you do need to do that because the plants, the roots have grown over to the can or the container, and they've hit that wall and they've circled around, depending on how long it's been in the container. And in that case, loosening those roots by soaking in water or hand loosening somehow, not necessarily just tearing them all up, but loosening them is a great advantage. When a tree is bald and burlapped, it's basically a great big cutting. They take, in most cases, either a tree digging machine or they do it by hand, and they're literally severing those roots that are growing out. And when a plant is growing in the ground, it tends not to have those circling and girdling roots as bad as in a container. So removing the burlap is something that some of the contractors still don't do, but you've done it. Your company did it, so that's a good thing. And the only other thing, like you and I were talking about off the air, is make sure that it's nice and high, that the flare is exposed above ground. And you mentioned that mulch had been put on it already, so you weren't sure about that?
That's right.
Sam, you still there?
Yes. Can you hear me?
There you are.
Okay.
Mulch had been put on the top. Is that what you said?
Yeah, there's a shredded tree bark that they put around it, made kind of a bowl.
Okay.
So it's covering up the base of the tree.
Well, you told me who it was, and we don't need to put that on the air, but they should know better. Just knock that bowl down to a flat area of the mulch going across and pull the mulch completely away from the trunk. And if the flare is not exposed really properly, you have two options. One is to get them to come back and set it at the right height. But if it's not too badly deep, then you can just pull the bark and the soil off the flare and leave a little bit of a depression there, and you'll be fine. But it's not, on a ball and burlap plant, it's not essential to soak it and try to loosen the roots, because they generally have gone straight out and been severed during the ball and burlap moving.
Okay. Well, that answers my question.
You
Thank
should
you very
be fine.
Much.
Is it already budding, and or is it already leafed out?
It is budding right now.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okie doke. Well, good luck. Keep me posted.
Okay. Thank
Thanks,
you.
Sir. Those of you that haven't heard it before, we have a little bit different, or quite a lot different, planting instructions for people, and it depends on whether it's ball and burlap or in a container. If it's in a container and if it's not too large, I recommend strongly putting the ball and burlap to plant, whether it's a 1 gallon, 5 gallon, 15 gallon, or whatever it is, and whether it's a tree or a woody shrub or something like that, over in water and soak it so that you can hydrate the roots and loosen them, especially if they're wound around in a tight knot, and then spread them out a little bit as much as possible, much as you possibly can when you plant the plant. This is kind of a semi bare rooting operation. We've done total bare rooting in a lot of cases. And then during the winter, I think it's really an excellent way to go. Now that the plants are growing and everything, just soaking and hydrating is the main key. But also on the top of the ball, you'll find that 9 times out of 10, the roots have circled and have gone up because the tree's too deep in the ground. So removing the excess soil from the top of the ball, letting that root flare, that trunk flare, actually is a better term, be very, very dramatically exposed above the ground when you're finished planting, makes creates a need for setting the plant a lot higher than a lot of people think. And the worst group of trees for this to happen incorrectly are the fruit trees. Fruit trees tend to get planted too low, grossly, because a lot of people think that graft union, where the swelling is, or where there'll be a little elbow, that's the union where the top was grafted to the root, the bottom part of the tree. And a lot of people think that ought to be about at ground level. Well, if you put that at ground level, you will have planted your tree about 8 to 10 inches too deep in the ground. And that's why so many people have trouble with fruit trees and have insect and disease problems and poor production and everything else. Generally, when I look at whether it's a commercial operation or a homeowner who's planted one or a few trees, I almost always see, whether it's jujubes or peaches or pomegranate or whatever the fruit crop is, I almost always see the plants too deep in the ground. If you solve that by removing that soil and mulch so that flare and the bird's nest roots that are trying to fight to get up to oxygen are removed, you will have dramatically better growth, better production of whatever the food crop is you're trying to grow, and your pressure related to insects and disease issues will be dramatically reduced. And then if you use the basic organic program of soil building with compost and organic fertilizers and rock minerals and the sugars and the things that we use, and a foliar spray program, and release of the beneficial insects that we recommend to everybody, trichogramma wasps and beneficial nematodes, and then do the other things as problems come up. You'll have very few problems and have great, great success. Open lines, by the way, and we might even have things fixed at 866-444-3478. Here's Richard in, I don't have any idea how to pronounce this, in Minnesota. Richard, where is this?
Sauk Center, Minnesota.
Sauk Center, Minnesota. Thanks for calling.
Yep. I'm the fellow that brings chickens down all the time, but I got this week off.
Okay, good.
Listen, Howard, one of my daughters called me. She tells me, and I've never heard of this, she tells me that moles go under the ground and voles, V-O-L-E.
Yeah, they're a little smaller, guys. I'm sorry, my timing's bad. Let me talk to you in a minute. Don't go away. I'm Howard Garrett. I'll be right back after this. My favorite dog food company is located up near the Red River in Munster, Texas. My dogs eat only Munster Natural Dog Food, and I recommend it becomes part of your dog's diet. Same for your cats. My dogs love the taste, and Judy and I like how it makes them look and feel. Other major points include the absence of toxic preservatives and the presence of the highest quality ingredients available, including prebiotics and L-carnitine. One unusual ingredient is something I've been recommending for a long time. Some choices contain no soy, wheat, or corn. Some of the formulas are the original blends. Munster Natural pet foods are made from grains from local farmers, and the bags are made right here in the USA. Everything about Munster Natural is quality and results in healthy dogs and cats. If your pet food store doesn't stock Munster, ask them to contact Munster Milling through their website at munstermilling.com about how to get the products in your area. Your dogs and cats will be healthier and happier.
BioSI is a leading manufacturer of beneficial microbe and enzyme products. BioSI products help build healthy soil to grow healthy gardens and food crops. BioSI products loosen the soil, reduce fertilization needs, and help reduce irrigation needs. BioSI can be used to treat flowers, lawns, shrubs, and trees, as well as herb and vegetable gardens. Water Doctor by BioSI cleans and maintains ponds, lakes, and water gardens. Contact them today at 866-393-4786 or on the web at biositechnology.com.
Crazy Water is so good, it's crazy. And it also happens to be good as a sports drink. The all-natural minerals and electrolytes infused into Crazy Water deep underground by Mother Nature help your body rehydrate and recover much better than all the artificial colors and sugars found in most sports drinks. If you can't make the run all the way out to the wells in Mineral Wells, Texas, you can get all the Crazy Water you need at Whole Foods or Central Market. Crazy Water, so good, it's crazy.
Trees become infested with chemicals that harm living organisms. Avoid all high nitrogen synthetic fertilizers, especially nitrogen-only products. Toxic weed and feed products are the worst of all. Next, build soil health with aeration and natural organic fertilizers and amendments. And third, use native plants and well-adapted introductions. Finally, water only as needed. The organic program will reduce the watering requirements by about 50%. MoTurf is needed in mulch clippings into the lawn to return nutrients and organic matter to the soil. The natural way is fun, will save you money, and always works better in every way. After all, Mother Nature knows best. For more information about natural organic gardening, visit dirtdoctor.com.
I'm always working to find new and better organic products. One of the companies that helps me in that regard is the Medina Corporation in Hondo, Texas. They've been helping farmers, ranchers, landscapers, and homeowners with quality soil building longer than anybody in the business. Medina produces fertilizers and soil amendments, both in liquid and dry formulations, that work by stimulating the soil biology to help all crops. Whether growing landscape plants, herbs, vegetables, grasses, or trees, Medina has the products to help you budget wisely, effectively increase production, and treat the environment right. There's a new prilled organic fertilizer called Growing Green Premium Lawn Food that I recommend you try. The commercial version of Garrett Juice Plus is also made by Medina, and it's available in all sizes, quarts, gallons, barrels, and even large totes. Remember to ask for Medina. The website's medinaag.com. You'll find the Medina label at all hardware, nursery, and feed stores that sell organic products.
Compost is nature's own living fertilizer and can be made at home or purchased ready to use. It can be started any time of the year in sun or shade, and anything once living, plant or animal, can and should go into the compost. The ingredients in your compost should be a mix of coarse and fine textured material to promote air circulation through the pile. Turn the pile as time allows to speed up the process. However, turning is not critical. Moisture is important. A compost pile should be roughly as wet as a squeezed out sponge to help the living organisms thrive and work their magic. Compost is ready to use as a soil amendment when the ingredients are no longer identifiable. The color is a dark brown, the texture is soft and crumbly, and the smell is pleasant like the forest floor. Rough, unfinished compost can be used as top dressing mulch around all plantings. Finished compost is used in potting soil and bed preparation. You can learn more about composting and natural organic gardening at dirtdoctor.com.
All righty, Howard, back with you, 866-444-3478. I talked to Richard off the air. I always do that every show, but today I'm doing it a little more than normal because of the phone issues, which may be solved. He had questions about voles and the control. Some of the same repellents that we recommend for moles and gophers, the Mole Scram is a product that's on the market. Another really good one is called Liquid Fence. There's one called Chase that's on the market. Just the garlic pepper tea sprays and some, you know, really hot red peppers and things like that, as we were talking about with the armadillo, sometimes work. And a lot of times you just have to experiment around. Some of the repellents are better for some crop of pests than others, but those are some of the choices for you to start with. Steve in San Antonio, Texas, next up. Hello, Steve.
Hey, good morning, Howard.
What's up?
I had a question. I'm building a house a little bit north of San Antonio, and the builder's been really good trying to work the house in between a number of the trees that are there.
Uh-huh, good.
But how close is the safe distance between the trees and the foundation? I mean, I've got mostly or many live oak, anywhere from 8 inches to one that's even 21 inches in diameter.
Well, there's not an absolute answer to that, Steve. Some houses, as you know, are built around trees, you know, with a tree coming up through the courtyard. I have trees all around my house. They're very close to the foundation. Some I planted, some were there when we bought the house. There are trees all over the world that are so close that the expanding trunk, you know, can crack the wall. And so there's not a real good number. A lot of these people that worry about foundations, and some of the engineers and foundation people will tell you to don't plant a tree any closer than 20 feet to the foundation. The true answer to that is that if you're truly concerned about roots being a problem for your foundation, you know, dipping under the beam and sucking the moisture out and causing foundation problems, you can't have any trees on the property. Because a tree will have a root system that's 4 to 5 times wider than the drip line of the tree. So on residential properties, that means there's roots of trees all over the property. So what we normally say is keep all of them that you think would be worth keeping. You might want to get an arborist or some consultant out at some point to take a look. But try to the big deal is the ones that you are going to try to keep. Not only fence the root zone of the tree completely off to keep the construction out of that area, you'll have to leave enough room to build the house, obviously. It's called setting up an envelope of where they can work and where they can't. And if you don't put physical fences up, they're going to get on the roots of the trees and they're going to do damage. And then the other thing that I recommend, and it's hard. When my parents built their house, I had a hard time controlling it even on their property, because contractors are just used to not having the interference of a fence. And the second thing that I recommend is an 8 to 10-inch thick layer of shredded tree trimmings. And we overdo it when we're doing a new construction or adding on to form a pad to work on so that the roots aren't damaged at all. And not only if you do this will the roots not be damaged, the soil will actually be improved during the time that the mulch is there. And then when the construction is done, you rake the excess off. If you need to get all the way to bare soil to plant grass or do bed preparation or whatever, that's fine. But you will have improved the soil during that construction process, and the trees will just, you know, not have any problem at all. Even if you sever half of the roots on the side where the house is. If you protect the other half, the other 50% of the root system on the other side, your tree might lose some limbs, have a little dead, a little problem on that damaged side, but that, and then it'll come back and be fine later on.
Okay. And then certainly if you're putting that tree trimmings down, you'll have to be careful about the root flare afterwards or at the end, correct?
Yeah, doing it on a temporary basis during the construction, you're not going to do a lot of damage keeping the moisture on the trunk, but it would be better even during construction. When you get to the trunk, just carve it down so you're not covering up the fire any more than you have to.
Great. Well, thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Good luck with your project.
All right. Thank you, sir.
See you later.
Bye-bye.
Well, we've got things working here. How about that? Gene in Irving, next up. Hey, Gene.
Good morning, Howard. What I wanted to find out is about the expanded shale.
Okay.
Does it keep its texture, like that little pebble look, for quite a while, or does it decompose or disintegrate when it's in the ground?
It lasts basically forever, Gene. It's
really?
It's a solid rock. You know, it's a byproduct of, it's a shale is what it is. The original material was a natural material called shale. It's mined from the ground. It's heated to 1500 or so degrees, which, you know, explodes it, pops it, and that gives it that porous nature. And its primary use is in lightweight concrete and haydite blocks and things like that. As a soil amendment, it's okay. A lot of people think it's great. I don't mind it being used. It is a man-made product, and it's a byproduct of this other stuff being done. But it's basically solid rock, like lava sand, which I prefer, and it'll break down, but it'll break down a long time after you and I are gone.
In an area that it gets a lot of water, and I guess it is clay in that one area, so I was going to use that, but I was also going to use lava sand and landscaper mix to mix it all together.
What is landscaper mix?
Well, it's little pieces of shredded bark, I guess.
Okay. If you want to buy any more, don't buy anything with pine bark in it if you're going to use it as a bed preparation material. But green sand, lava sand, decomposed granite, is all those things are great. Zeolite is a great general improvement. And the expanded shale is fine, too. It's just that I like the natural materials a little better.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you for calling.
Thank you.
Howard Garrett, the Dirt Doctor, 866-444-3478. I'll be back.
With SRN News, I'm Michael Harrington in Washington. An Afghan official says 11 civilians, including 10 children, have been killed in an airstrike during a weekend military operation in eastern Afghanistan. A government official in Kunar province says the airstrike occurred yesterday. A young Foreign Service officer is one of six Americans killed in attacks in Afghanistan yesterday and spinning off was in a convoy of vehicles traveling to southern Afghanistan when a suicide bomber blew up a car. Syrian activists say government airstrikes have killed at least 20 people today as the army presses its campaign against rebels in the country. The Britain-based Syrian Observatory for Human Rights says the strikes targeted the northern cities of Aleppo, Homs, Hama, and Idlib. And an Iranian senior lawmaker says the recent nuclear talks between Iran and world powers were effective. A semi-official news agency quotes the head of the parliamentary committee. This is SRN News.
Ladies, are any of these symptoms familiar? Weight gain, hot flashes, rapid heartbeat, night sweats? How about fatigue, nausea, low energy? Or what about sleeplessness, low libido, and fat storage, especially around the belly area? If you're a woman over 40 experiencing any of these symptoms, you probably have hormonal imbalance. And until you balance your hormones, it'll be practically impossible to get rid of these problems. But you're in luck because Ambrin is the all-natural formula clinically shown to cause sustained weight loss in women over 40 with no big change in lifestyle. Ambrin restores hormonal imbalance in women over 40, so the extra pounds fall away and the other symptoms simply disappear. To receive a complimentary risk-free trial with a free 30-day supply, just be one of the first 50 callers right now at 1-800-280-1656. Free supplies are limited, so be one of the first callers right now at 1-800-280-1656. That's 1-800-280-1656.
With Expert Sports, I'm Patrick Foss. Michigan has earned the right to take on Louisville in Monday's NCAA title game by downing Syracuse 61-56. Michigan forward Mitch McGrary had 10 points and 12 rebounds to make up for AP Player of the Year Trey Burke scoring only 7.
The guys need me to step up when the moment's needed.
Two Syracuse players who account for 25 points a game combined for 3 buckets. Orange coach Jim Boeheim.
Our offense was not good enough.
Louisville reached the NCAA title game by turning a 12-point second-half deficit into a 72-68 win over Wichita State. Cardinals guard Russ Smith, who had a team-high 21 points, says he wasn't surprised Luke Hancock was able to come off the bench and score 20 points.
I'm so happy for him, man. I'm thankful I have a guy like that on our team, you know, a leader, a guy who could step up in the big situations.
Wichita State coach Greg Marshall says his team had a wonderful run through the NCAA tournament.
They've gained fans, support, and love across the world.
Michigan and Louisville, Monday night in the Georgia Dome for the NCAA title. This is Esser in Sports. In the American League, it was the LA Angels 8-4 over Texas. Tommy Hanson gave up 3 runs and 6 hits over 6 innings in his Angels debut after arriving in an offseason trade with Atlanta.
It's a lot easier to pitch when your team puts up 4 runs in that first inning.
Other American League winners, Toronto, Chicago, Detroit, Minnesota, Tampa Bay, and Oakland. In the National League, Clayton Kershaw followed his complete game shutout on opening day by allowing just 2 hits while striking out 9 over 7 innings of the Dodgers 1-0 win over Pittsburgh. Other National League winners, the Mets, Washington, St. Louis, Arizona, Atlanta, and Colorado. Interleague play saw Philadelphia beat Kansas City 4-3. In the NBA, San Antonio regained sole possession of first place in the Western Conference with a 99-97 win over Atlanta. The Spurs a half game ahead of Oklahoma City. Other NBA winners, Washington, Brooklyn, Miami, Minnesota, Milwaukee, and Denver. The National Hockey League, Chicago Black, Nashville 1-0. The Blackhawks Western Conference lead now 5 points over idle Anaheim. Other NHL winners, Winnipeg, Los Angeles, Montreal, the Rangers, Islanders, Toronto, Washington, Phoenix, and Vancouver. With Esser in Sports, I'm Patrick Foss.
All righty, Howard Mack with you. And our guest is on the line, so if you call, and those of you that are holding, hang on for just a little bit, and then we'll try to get to some of your questions in just a bit. But right now, as I have promoed, we've got a caller that has been a little bit of a friend because I hadn't seen her in a long time for many years, and we got back together recently. Her name is Sherry Herrera DeFry. She is one of the owners of a company called Arbico Organics, near Tucson, Arizona, but it's primarily a mail order company specializing in beneficial insects and organisms. And Sherry understands everything that we talk about, and I'm delighted to have her on the show today. Good morning, Sherry.
Morning, Howard. It's my pleasure as well.
I've had less tense mornings, as you might guess, but you're in the radio business, so you know these things happen. I apologize for the delay.
Well, that's what happens with live radio. It always makes it very exciting.
Well, it gave me a little bit of an opportunity to promo it a little bit more. I'm delighted. We're give everybody a little behind the curtain. We are going to be associated in more than just them being a sponsor on the show. I'm really delighted to be able to work together. They've been doing what they're doing now for a long time. I guess your husband really got it all started in the beginning.
He did. He was the wildlife biologist behind all these amazing bugs that we sell. I couldn't believe it. One day he came home and said, "Gee, I think I'd like to grow bugs." I thought he said drugs, but you know, didn't realize it was going to be such an interesting life for us, because bugs are the most interesting living things out there. I mean they don't take vacations, Howard. They don't take days off, and so it's a 24/7 when you grow bugs. And it really was and has been a wonderful experience for us to be able to help people all throughout the whole country and outside the country as well, using biological control. Good insects, predatory insects, parasitic insects that help take care of insect pests.
Well, as you know, I was involved in a book about bugs, and with Malcolm Beck. Malcolm had been studying insects on his own for a long time, and he caused me to fall in love with what y'all have fallen in love with, is understanding this wonderful community. And you never stop learning. I continue. People send me pictures of insects, Sherry, that I've never seen before every year. I just continue to run into more and more interesting things out there. But the more we learn, the more I'm convinced that it's easier to do than a lot of people say about organics. You have to do the whole program. And I think that's one of the things I'm impressed about y'all. Y'all don't just help people with a product here and a product there. You've got a whole approach, a program, and consult with people and make sure that they don't just buy something and waste their money.
Absolutely. You know, we call it an ecosystem pest management approach. And what I mean by that is that many people come to us because they have a pest issue. And really, in almost every case, Howard, you know, we're really talking about a fertility imbalance. Something's sure. off in the soil. And so what we like to do is help people with the symptomatic issues, which are generally something like an insect pest or a disease issue. And then if they're open to it, we would like to then talk to them about what we can do in the soil. What can we do to make our plants healthier in the first place so they naturally resist insect pests and disease pests. And so it's really more of a holistic program where we take care of the symptoms and then we treat the cause.
Well, as you know, I've been for several years now recommending Trichogramma wasp and beneficial nematodes kind of as a prophylactic approach for the people that have gone organic. And maybe I'm overkilling with that. Not everybody does it because of budget issues. And some people that have been organic for a long time have such wonderfully healthy and perfect soil that maybe they don't need to do it as often. But do you recommend the Trichogramma wasp and the beneficial nematodes as much as I do? I know that you do, but go ahead and give people a little of your side.
Absolutely. And, you know, you're so right. I mean, everything is really about being proactive. In the world of organics, we don't want to wait until everything is out of control before we come in and attempt to fix things. You're absolutely correct. You know, I think Trichogramma, and especially nematodes, I mean, have to be looked at as something that you release. It's just part and parcel of whatever you're going to be doing from the very beginning. You know, we sit down from the very beginning, we analyze our soil, and then we begin to look at the whole program of what's going on in our growing system. And of course, the great thing about Trichogramma is that you don't wait until, you know, the moths are just flying in like crazy. What you want to do is you have your traps set out in advance, and you pretty much know year after year, although it changes given the weather conditions and whatnot. But the idea is to get those Trichogramma wasps out there early so that when the very first moth appears, you don't even give them an opportunity to lay an egg. Same thing with those beneficial nematodes. They're going to be working on the larval stages of pests that you find in the soil. And so you don't want to wait until they've already pupated and they're no longer susceptible to parasitic beneficial nematodes. You want to do that now when the weather is warm. I mean, we're talking about 45-degree temperatures outside, the ambient temperature. This is the time to get going.
You know, one of the things, Sherry, that my friend Bob Webster down in San Antonio, who does a similar show, and I have been recommending to our listeners for a long time, that we got a little bit of grief about from even some of the insectaries, is we've been recommending nematodes to go out very early in the year when it's still pretty cool, and we've gotten great results on keeping flea problems from even popping up as an issue at all, and some other insect pests as well. Is there a kind of a drop-dead temperature that you guys would just say you're going to be wasting your money if it's this cold?
You know, I, like I said, for most organisms, and I'm just going to put insects into that category as well, Howard, when you get to about 42 degrees, 40 to 42 degrees ambient temperature, I'm talking about, you know, as a low, mm-hmm. As the high for the day, even though it's going down to freezing at night, right, that's still enough heat for activity to start beginning. And remember, we're talking pest insects that are what we call, you know, super breeders. They outbreed the beneficials many times over. And so they're already stirring. They're already starting to develop. So even though it seems extraordinarily cold, and you're still getting those freezing temperatures at night, if you have three consecutive days of 42 to 45 degrees as your high, that's the time to get going. You don't want to wait until it gets too hot.
That's great. Well, you and I are going to be visiting on a regular basis. I wanted to introduce the association today. Tell people about the website and about how to get started learning about what y'all have to offer.
Well, thank you, Howard, and I just want to thank you. It's just, you know, you're one of my heroes, and I'm delighted to be working with you again and always. I want to let everybody know that's listening. You know, we offer a full service, so if you want to give us a call and you want to talk to a live person, every time when you call, you're going to always get a live person during our regular working hours, which are 8 to 5 Pacific Standard Time right now, and the number is 800-SOS-BUGS. It's an easy one to remember, 800-SOS-BUGS. You can also go to our website, which is arbico-organics.com. Thanks so much, Howard, for having me on the show.
I appreciate it. Look forward to next week, and we'll be talking soon. I look forward to seeing your growing operation and everything out there in Arizona, too. See you soon, Sherry. Thank you.
Take care.
Bye-bye. That is Sherry Herrera DeFray, and she is really good. I've known her for a long time, but we haven't worked together very well, so I'm really looking forward to this association. That number, again, is 800-SOS-BUGS. And one of my listeners some time ago told me, Howard, you know, for us that are deaf or blind people, rather, not deaf, but have trouble with the letters, please give us the numbers, and I'll look that up. I should ask her what that was. But anyway, the easy way to remember it is 800-SOS-BUGS. Here's Charles next up in Royce City. Hello, Charles.
Well, good morning. How are you, sir?
Very well. Thank you, sir.
Well, I'll tell you what. I'm trying once again to plant some blueberries, and one of the instructors said I need to use ammonium sulfate.
Oh, boy.
And another guy told me I could use water mixed with battery acid, so I need some help.
Boy, you got some great advice there, Charles. Where did each one of those come from?
Well, the ammonium sulfate came from the book that came along with the blueberries from Tennessee.
Is that right? Holy cow.
And the other guy's a Home Depot guy.
Yeah.
Well,
that's one of the things that Sherry and I have both been dealing with for 30 years is that kind of recommendations. Those kind of recommendations are still out there. And that's unfortunate. You know, the people that actually sell some of the crops, some of the plants that we try to grow are giving out that kind of crazy information. The blueberries, to begin with, need really, really, really good soil. Most people would say it has to be extremely acid, and that's true, but that acid pH is more a result than a controlling factor. It just really means that all of the trace minerals that plant needs are available to the plant. So what you do is you start off with the basic organic program of building the soil with lots of good quality compost, lots of rock powders like we've been talking about. All of them work fine. In this case, I would definitely put green sand and zeolite both into the bed preparation. And then the lowering of the pH we can do, if you really want to do it, with apple, and it's probably not a bad idea in the beginning, with apple cider vinegar. And you mix the apple cider vinegar at about 1 ounce per gallon of water. And that would be in addition to the Garrett juice mixture, which already has apple juice, apple cider vinegar in it.
Okay.
And so all of that program gives you the trace mineral balance, the Garrett juice and the apple cider vinegar can drop the pH for you. And then the foliar feeding with the same materials as you're putting in the soil, you'll have good results if you do one other thing, and that is have good quality water. And the first thing I'd recommend is you send your water sample to Texas Plant and Soil Lab. Let me put you on hold. You may want to talk just a little bit more about it on the air. If not, I'll talk to you off the air. Howard Garrett, be right back.
Tired of poor-performing crops, gardens, or lawns? Texas Plant and Soil Lab offers you the most accurate and thorough soil nutrition test in the industry. Our special method is accurate for every soil type and in all areas of the country. The quality of the water you use for irrigation is also critical to the health of your soil and plants. We can provide you with a complete analysis and corrective recommendations for your water. Go to asktheplant.com today to see useful information and a full description of our services. That's asktheplant.com or call 956-383-0739.
Bonnie knows when you plant something, it keeps on giving. Growing from friend to neighbor to community. Generations of gardeners have trusted Bonnie for fresh, healthy vegetable and herb plants. Rely on Bonnie for quality plants, help, and support. Bonnie, gardening with you since 1918. BonniePlants.com.
The Natural Organic Warehouse provides state-of-the-art natural organic products and programs. If you are a grower, farmer, rancher, landscape contractor, or homeowner who expects excellent results, convenience, and to save money, then you need to visit naturalorganicwarehouse.com. That's naturalorganicwarehouse.com. Once again, naturalorganicwarehouse.com. The Natural Organic Warehouse. Organic programs and products that work.
You can have a beautiful lawn and be kind to the environment, too. Hi, I'm Melinda Myers, horticulturist and gardening expert. A few simple changes in your lawn care practices, like using Milorganite Goof-Proof Organic Fertilizer, can result in a carpet of green, safe for your kids and pets. Proper fertilization can improve your lawn's health and greatly reduce weed problems. Milorganite's organic nitrogen is slow release and won't damage your grass when hot, dry weather arrives. Use Milorganite for better results naturally.
Visit Milorganite.com to find a store near you.
To begin your natural organic program and get your lawn and garden off drugs, just follow Mother Nature's guide. First, stop hurting the life in the soil. Choose only products and techniques that are beneficial to the health of organisms above and in the soil. Stop using all synthetic fertilizers, toxic pesticides, and other toxic chemicals that harm living organisms. Avoid all high nitrogen synthetic fertilizers, especially nitrogen-only products. Toxic weed and feed products are the worst of all. Next, build soil health with aeration and natural organic fertilizers and amendments. And third, use native plants and well-adapted introductions. Finally, water only as needed. The organic program will reduce the watering requirements by about 50%. MoTurf is needed and mulch clippings into the lawn to return nutrients and organic matter to the soil. The natural way is fun, will save you money, and always works better in every way. After all, Mother Nature knows best. For more information about natural organic gardening, visit dirtdoctor.com.
It is not uncommon for the air inside a home or office to be more toxic than the air outside. This is because of the presence of toxic materials that outgas and the fact that homes and buildings are better sealed and insulated than ever before. Keeping windows open as often as possible are now on the market and are competing for that spot under your sink. They are non-toxic and they do not put off toxic gases. Visit howardgarrett.com for more information on how to live a healthier lifestyle and to find great products for your home that work well and don't contaminate the air.
My favorite dog food company is located up near the Red River in Munster, Texas. My dogs eat only Munster Natural Dog Food, and I recommend it becomes part of your dog's diet. Same for your cats. My dogs love the taste, and Judy and I like how it makes them look and feel. Other major points include the absence of toxic preservatives and the presence of the highest quality ingredients available, including prebiotics and L-carnitine. One unusual ingredient is something I've been recommending for a long time. Some choices contain no soy, wheat, or corn. Some of the formulas are the original blends. Munster Natural pet foods are made from grains from local farmers, and the bags are made right here in the USA. Everything about Munster Natural is quality and results in healthy dogs and cats. If your pet food store doesn't stock Munster, ask them to contact Munster Milling through their website at munstermilling.com about how to get the products in your area. Your dogs and cats will be healthier and happier.
Covering the bare soil around plants is crucial, and there are several mulch choices. The best mulch for any site is shredded recycled plant material such as limbs, leaves, twigs, dead plants, bark, spent flowers, and other plant debris that grew on the property. That's the natural way. How it is done in the forest and on the prairie. Second best would be purchased shredded native tree trimmings. Third in line is shredded hardwood bark. Pine bark and cypress are not good choices. Pine bark is just bad in general. It won't stay in place and contains chemicals that hurt plant growth. Cypress doesn't break down well. Mulch should decompose to create the true natural food to feed microbes and plant roots. Pine needles are good, but look out of place if there are no pine trees on the property. Lava gravel makes good mulch and has the extra benefit of keeping squirrels and cats out, but lava gravel has its negative points. It looks harsher than organic mulches, and it doesn't break down into humus. The best commercial mulch is a mixture of compost and shredded tree trimmings. For more information on mulch, go to dirtdoctor.com.
All righty, Howard, back with you. Telephone number is 866-444-3478. We were talking to Charles in Roy City about blueberries. Charles, you still with us?
Yeah, I just one more little thing.
Let me finish on that water thing real quick, and then we'll go to your next point.
Okay.
On the water, the thing that tricks people the most about growing blueberries, I think, is that whether they do the bed preparation like I recommend with all the natural organic amendments, the rock and compost, and I didn't mention sugar, a bit of dry molasses and a little bit of whole ground cornmeal is essential in this to really fire up the microbes on the front end so that production doesn't lull right at the first. But even if people do all that and then they continue to water with the water that's coming from a source where the water's out of balance, you know, you'll ruin everything you've established in the soil. So you need to get a water sample done of whatever water you're going to use from Texas Plant and Soil Lab in Edinburgh, and then they will give you a report that where we'll be able to balance that water so it doesn't create a problem with your irrigation ongoing. You may be able to solve it as simply as injecting the Garrett Juice Plus with a little extra apple cider vinegar added. Some of the blueberry growers, some that we've worked with, actually inject it into the irrigation. But if you don't have that that technology, you can just put it out by spray or drenching on a more regular basis if the water needs that help. You see what I mean?
Yeah, that's true.
What was your other question?
Okay, well, the only other thing I was concerned about was they said I needed people said I needed to use sulfur and all the stuff that hole with peat moss before I go with it.
Yeah, peat moss is what everybody recommends, and they recommend it because of the lower pH. If you put some peat moss into the beds for blueberries, it's not the end of the world. If I was doing it, I wouldn't do that. But if you want to do the peat moss for the pH, a couple of precautions. One is peat moss needs to be thoroughly moistened, you know, before it goes into the beds and is mixed all in. It tends to keep dry spots and things like that. If you use a high-quality finish, good finish compost and all these other things that we recommend, you don't need the peat moss. It's a lot more expensive, and you know, I personally wouldn't do it.
Okay, well, that's good. I'm using the Garrett Plus, and I guess that's good, huh?
Garrett Juice Plus. Only thing I'm saying is that if the water issue is something we need to deal with, adding a little bit more apple cider vinegar to the mix than is already in the Garrett Juice Plus may need to be done.
Well, I sure appreciate it, Howard. Thank you very much.
Good luck with your blueberries.
Okay, bye-bye.
You'll be able to grow them well, but you got to do all that stuff. It's a little more trouble, obviously, but it can be done. Linda in Terrell next. Hi, Linda.
Good morning, Howard, and a happy spring to you.
Same to you, Linda.
My question was almost answered, I think, by the commercial for the mulching. The tree trimmers come around and trim a bunch of trees in my area, and I had them just dump a big load about 4 or 5 months ago, and I was going to use that around the house to help keep the moisture in. Would that be a good idea?
Linda, there's not a better idea than that.
Okay, and how about around in the flower beds? Is that good?
Well, it's the best mulch there is, Linda. The only negative about ground-up tree trimmings is that the texture, depending on what kind of grinder they used, can sometimes be more coarse-looking than some people like. But when you grind up living trees, which is what you're dealing with there, you've got a wonderful blend of carbon from the wood and the cellulose inside the limbs and trunks and everything. Plus, you have the cambium layer and the buds and the green tissue of the leaves and all that. So you have this wonderful blend and carbon to nitrogen ratio that's good. You've probably already noticed that pile that's dumped there is composting.
Right.
And as it breaks down, you can leave it right there and it break down into the prettiest compost you've ever seen. If you turn it every now and then, it will be even better. You can use the outside edge or dig into the center where it's partially composted already and use that. That's even better, and leave the rough, raw stuff on the outside in the pile to break down a little farther. But the use on bed preparation for top dressing is fine. Some people will warn you not to use any wood products around the house because of this shotgun fungus. But when you have a blend of the protein and the carbon together, and it's not just a carbon mulch, I've really never seen that to be a problem. If it does become a problem, we've got organic disease control techniques and sprays that you can use to solve it. But I've never gotten a call on it, so I don't think it's an issue.
Thank you. Yeah, I hear your music, so I'll call back at another time.
Okay, or you can hang on if you got another one. We can talk next hour. I'll put you on hold.
I'm just going into church. So.
Okay, call us again next time, okay?
Thanks.
Bye-bye. I'm Howard Garrett, the Dirt Doctor, and if you've got a call, it's 866-444-3478. We'll talk about landscaping, gardening, pest control, whatever you would like to discuss. If you have a problem, that's good. If you've got a tip, some good idea, that's okay too. We like to talk about all those things. If you want our newsletter, it's free. Send us an email to info@dirtdoctor.com. Join the Organic Club of America. You can go in and find out information about that. And all the people that we talk about that are advertisers, have great products and services right there on the right side of the page.